Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day!
Day by day!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We get beat, beat!
We get beat, beat!
Boom, beat, beat!
Boom, beat, beat!
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Great to have you in on a Friday. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, and Nebraska just keeps on rolling. Do not get up from the blackjack table, Nebraska. So excited was TJ Henning that he walked in studio today wrapped in a Calabrasca flag. He's been converted from talk to me in 3 years to avid recruiting nut.
Just like that, I snapped.
I wouldn't call it snapped. I'd say converted.
I flipped my commitment over to interested.
Yeah. TJ, seriously, where'd you get that flag? It's beautiful.
Just found it lying around.
You made it. You made it.
Yeah.
Big news today. Jameer Calvin is in for Nebraska. 4-star wide receiver. Last week, we talked to Tyjon Lindsey. It'll be a minor miracle if we talk to Jameer Calvin today, but we're efforting. So great to have you along on a Friday with Hail Varsity Radio. Numbers to get in, 466-3776, 466-3776, toll-free, 1-800-825-5865. More recruiting to talk about. It's been hot and heavy recruiting-wise here the last 7 to 10 days on our show, and we're going to keep it going that way. We'll spend some time. It's, the discussion about Nebraska basketball, we'll get into it. It's one of those discussions that remind me of parenting moments where this is going to hurt a lot worse for me than it will you. Right after dad spanks you, if he's good at pulling off the deception, he has a sad look in his eye. If he doesn't care and he just wants to whack you because you stole his car, you'll feel it that way. It's beginning to feel like a lost joyride for Nebraska basketball.
5 in a row, no bueno.
5 in a row is 5 in a row, and listen, it's not
some heartbreakers in there.
It's not anything to sneeze at, or say, oh, it's okay. I mean, people.
I mean, you could be 6-2 or 0-8, but you're 3-5.
Teams go through it,
mm-hmm.
And Nebraska basketball goes through it. I mean, Nebraska won't be the first team to have a 5-game losing streak in Big Ten play.
No,
but usually you stop the blood gushing at 3. Or maybe you drop 4. I mean, Sparty isn't doing real well either.
I think the year after the tournament, I think it was either 7 or 8, or you lost 8 out of 9, or 7 out of 8.
Yeah, you lost. You lost out.
So yeah.
So we get into Nebraska basketball. The pride of Fairbury, Bill Dolman, will weigh in, get his thoughts on Nebraska hoops. So Bill in 15 minutes. Erin Sorensen, recruiting talk with her of HailVarsity.com and magazine. Erin doing a great job. Some just incredible analysis on the Jameer Calvin commitment on HailVarsity.com, the premium content. You can sign up for 30 days free right now. HailVarsity.com/subscribe. We'll get caught up with Brandon Vogel, who authored just a tremendous piece on how much talent do you need to win a conference championship or beyond. And we catch up with Vogel today. Friday forecast will be in effect towards the end of the show. So that's what's laid out for you. Scout.com, their national analysts have caught up with Jameer Calvin. And let's tell you what was the reasoning here. Because this wideout is kind of a lot like Tyjon Lindsey size-wise and specialty-wise. It's slot. It's speed. It's agility in space. It's ability to go deep and beat somebody deep, take the top off the defense. So the best of both worlds as Nebraska moves further towards Oregon State 2.0 with the offensive identity and game plan. Throw it around, get some dudes you can't cover in space or downfield, and do the play action thing, and don't forget about the run game. and Coach Riley and Coach Williams are just rocking and rolling right now. Jahmyr Calvin, per scout.com, his reasoning. Quote, I really feel at peace right now. Before, I felt like I was making my decision more for other people. This time around, I kind of took a step back and made the choice, and I thought what I thought was best for me, and that's Nebraska. You'll not forget, whether you're a casual recruiting fan, diehard recruiting fan, and just a Nebraska fan, the U.S. Army All-American game. The term, that is not happiness to see me, is from a movie I love, A Perfect Murder. And Michael Douglas got caught trying to have his wife offed. That's not a good thing. But just the sadness in Calvin's eyes with the tears, like he didn't want to do it. He wanted to go and explore and experience. And here's the why when he says he feels at peace. It comes down to what he feels will give him the best chance to realize his dream. And dude wants to go to the NFL. Guy wants to make money, help mom, obviously get an education, perform well at Nebraska. How is that going to happen? He believes, and he's probably right, if you pull all the wideouts out there, you pull all the guys that come back in the offseason from the NFL, who's going to get me elite? Davante Adams will say it's Keith Williams. And Jahmyr Calvin says it's Keith Williams. Guy that's going to coach me and prepare me for the next level. That's it. And that's, don't sugarcoat it. I mean, you want to come here, get an education, do your thing, but the selling point is getting a dude to the league. Keith Williams has done that, will continue to do that. And he will tutor you at a phenomenal level. He's incredible. And he's worth every penny for Nebraska and Coach Riley because he is closing.
Oh, yeah.
He's killing it. And he's supposed to kill it, but he is killing it. And that's the thing. We'll get into the momentum side of things on this. The other side of it, too, as far as how Nebraska got this commitment done with Jahmyr Calvin, it's the conference as a whole. And it says so in this article. You're playing against NFL dudes every weekend in the Big Ten, more so than the Pac-12. I think that was the selling point, too. You're going to come play in the Big Ten. You're going to play against Michigan. You're going to play against Ohio State. You're going to play against Sparty. You're going to play against Penn State. You're going to play against Wisconsin. You're going to have a good non-conference showing where there's Oklahoma, there's Colorado. On the non-conference schedule, there's Oregon next year. You're going to play against NFL competition to showcase yourself. And I believe the message was you can get that done in the Big Ten, and you get that done in the SEC. And you're probably not wild about going all the way across country to the East Coast. You can certainly do that in the Pac-12. But right now, you've got a stronger conference reputation with the Big Ten and the SEC than you do the Pac-12. I had no heart to call the Pirate today and ask him about this because he can't comment on it. But Nebraska able to get this thing done and won, and it's Keith Williams' time. Momentum so important here, and you want something good to feel about until kickoff happens again. Kickoff will happen again the 15th of April with the spring game. 1 o'clock kickoff. I think tickets go on sale at some point. Just saw an email on that. Huskers.com can have it for you. But the point is you're anxious to see what's going to happen here with all of this skill level, all of this talent, and then you want to see it applied on the field when Ohio State comes to town, when Wisconsin comes to town. In 2 years when you go to Ann Arbor against bitterly disappointed Jim Harbaugh and those Michigan Wolverines. And right now, the pitch was you make a change, you get a coach that's extremely well-respected, that does a good job, but never has had a chance to be great because of limitations. You go to Nebraska, those limitations are gone. You do more with more. And that demand was there by the athletic director to increase talent. Time will tell if that talent that is rated a certain level is up to that level. But it looks good right now. All you have to go on is rankings, service sites, and the peer group recruiting. So what Nebraska's doing right now is, okay, 9-4, you're going to shift over. You got a hot shot, former head coach, defensive coordinator that people rave about. You got a guy in Perella that gets the black shirts. You got a technician and PhD communicator and coach with Keith Williams and Dante Williams. And you got Langsdorf, the NFL dude with Eli. You got that whole group here, and your charge is to now go get talent.
Mm-hmm.
Go do it. Go close it. Go finish it. So when it comes to a Saturday night ABC ball game, it ends 62-3. Okay? Bring in more ballers that can match up with the Curtis Samuels of the world, or the Hookers, or the Lattimores, or the Peppers. Okay? And Nebraska right now on paper is trying to do that. Do they have as many 5 stars? No. Do they have as many 4 stars? No, but they're getting there. And here's the other thing. They're going to do their thing. And their thing right now is twofold. One, they're going to run a 3-4. You heard Coach Barnett talk about yesterday how the 3-4 can really screw with spread zone read offenses. Thank you. And two, Nebraska, along with there's a lot of pro-style teams in the Big Ten, but there's more spread teams than pro-style, so go do something different. You still see pro-style teams, but what Oregon State did at a high level when they were on it is super hard to defend. And you get the athletes here who can do wonders for Nebraska, and you can compete. So go land these recruits. Go compete. Go win some big games with comparable talent or more talent or developed talent and get back to being on the national radar. That's part of this process. And when you sign a kid and land a kid like this in Jameer Calvin, it kind of fulfills that charge. Go get better talent. Go get more talent. And close the deal on a guy that's a top, he's a higher rated recruit than Tyjon Lindsey. And you did so in this instance by beating out Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
Amendola, Crabtree, Wes Welker. Leach has got a list. Crab wasn't a slot guy, but Leach has put slot guys into the NFL too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a win you can't discount either. So Nebraska is feeling good. They're revving it up. Plenty of visitors to talk about this weekend, mainly three that could help influence the class and keep the momentum going. That's all you can do right now, and do your best to be accurate with this talent evaluation, get them here, and then coach them up. And it looks good right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, another great addition to the Husker football team today, 4-star Calvin. Now, you brought up talent. So ESPN put out this article where saying, since Jim Harbaugh arrived in Ann Arbor, Ohio State and Michigan have the most top 300 commits combined over the other 12 Big Ten teams. I mean, that's just crazy. So if you want to avoid those 62-3 games, which, you know, those are unfathomable anyways, you need the talent, not just to win, but not just to get blown out against those two upper echelon teams.
Go compete.
Oh, yeah.
Go compete. And in fairness to the guys that went to Columbus this year, there was talent on the field, too, for Nebraska. Nebraska didn't make plays.
Yeah.
They didn't make plays.
Yeah, and obviously losing your quarterback is going
to
set you
not
back.
Not to rehash that drunken night, but go make plays. And now have some difference makers.
Mm-hmm.
Have the option and opportunity to, if they've got a Lattimore lined up or a McMillan lined up, have a guy like Calvin or Lindsey or Keyshawn or whoever lined up across from him. Let your dude go make a play. That's what's going on here with the momentum and the realization of the steps you need to take per your athletic director, per the fan base, when it comes to talent upgrade. Be on a level playing field talent-wise. Will they ever? No, because Michigan and Ohio State in their backyard is a ton of talent. Mm-hmm. Plus, they've got established pipelines to the Bosas of the world down in Florida. But Nebraska's hitting their region, which is California, hitting their region, which is Texas, with some of these defensive linemen. And you do what you can, where you can, and ultimately finish the job, close the deal. Coach Williams did it again. So good for Nebraska football. Good for them getting Jameer Calvin. We'll tell you a little bit more about some of Calvin's strengths. We will talk Nebraska basketball, not to send you on a bad trip this weekend and rehash what was last night. But, man, it was a little tough to watch, hanging in there watching it, and then post the five-minute mark was really tough to watch when old Timmy got technical handed out to him. I'll give him credit, though. If the shoe was on the other foot, if I was wearing his white Nike, white Adidas, I would have got launched a long time ago based on frustration of inconsistency with the whistleblowing. Out for a good time with your friends or family, having a drink. Someone offers you a ride, you say no thanks because you think you're okay. Wrong answer. Mixing alcohol and driving is never a good thing. Can take your life, can lose your life, can take someone else's life, can be arrested, can go to jail, can lose your license. Remember, if you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Office of Highway Safety. Bill Dolman up next.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio and JMore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Next hour, we'll run down Brandon Vogel, talk about talent and recruiting. Erin Sorensen will give us her thoughts on the weekend visitors. Pride of Fairbury, five-star, Bill Dolman, NBC Sports, at Bill Dolman on Twitter. Billy D, how are you, brother?
You know, I'm doing quite well, and I appreciate the opportunity to come back after you suspended me for last week's show.
I didn't suspend you. You're everywhere. You're doing skiing internationally. You're doing college basketball on Thursday nights, brother. You're busy, so I didn't want to...
Let us not forget this weekend's World Luge Championships in Innsbruck, Austria.
How is Austria this time of year?
Well, as soon as the pictures come in, I'll be able to tell you. Turn those cameras on.
Sometime Austria would be a fun trip. That's all I'm going to say.
It would be. Last week I was in Switzerland and Austria at the same time for the Wengen men's downhill and the return of Lindsey Vonn on the women's side. And we were just going between the two countries and saying, well, coming up, we'll go back to Switzerland. And there we were sitting in our little Denver cubicle.
did Lindsey remember me? I asked you to ask her.
Yeah, and I haven't gotten around to doing that, quite frankly. Whenever I meet with her, you're the last thing on her mind, but I'll check that.
That's absolutely epic Bill Dolman right there. Bill, let's talk Nebraska basketball, a five-game losing streak in conference, a tough one against Northwestern. It looked promising to start Big Ten play. And last night got a bit out of hand, but it was close throughout. They've not gotten torched by any of the opponents. They've lost in gut-wrenching fashion. What's your thought right now with Nebraska basketball as they try and kind of turn it around? They're not out of it, but it doesn't look good.
No, it's so disappointing after the way the conference season started. Of all the things that have happened, the thing that stands out to me is that the loss at Rutgers was awful. That's one of those things that, we talk about during football season. You might pull off a big win over, a Michigan State or an Oregon or whoever it might have been over the last couple of years, and then you go stub your toe at Illinois or Purdue. Mm-hmm. And that loss at Rutgers was just awful. I mean, that's one that you have to go get. I remember watching a Big Ten game just prior to Nebraska going there, and it might have been Dan Dockich, mm-hmm. He was the analyst, and he said, who right now is the worst team who's the second worst team in the Big Ten? Because it was just a given that it's Rutgers that is the absolute worst. And, you know, they're talking, well, nobody wants to play Nebraska right now. And there was a really good vibe about what was going on in Lincoln after the win at Maryland. But that loss at Rutgers was just awful. To lose to this specific Northwestern team, there's no shame in that. You know, I mean, they're 17-4 now. They're easily going to the NCAA tournament. And they may be they are the surprise team of college basketball. But I just can't quite figure out why this Nebraska basketball team, for the most part, is really good for 30 to 35 minutes. But those 5 minutes, or even as the case with Ohio State, those 5 seconds, a guy falls down. It's just mind-boggling how that continues to happen. And how you turn it around and get that extra 10 minutes, I don't know. I think there's some great talent in the program right now. And I think Glenn Watson is one of the most exciting basketball players to come to Lincoln since the guy who's coaching the Cleveland Cavaliers. That's how good I think he is.
Wow. Bill Dolman, a few minutes with us here. Hail Varsity Radio, hitting on Husker basketball. Coach Miles right now, I mean, there's fan frustration. There's the non-renewed contract. There is the Gardner-Webb loss. There's the sub-500 seasons post-going to the tournament. But he's also been dealt injuries, defections, and there's been turnover, which happens everywhere. But if I'm looking at the scales here, yeah, Nebraska underachieved when they had a lineup the last few years that could have got to a tournament. They overachieved early in his tenure here. And then this year, he's just recruited his butt off to have a lot of top 100 talent guys. And they're just young. I mean, you got freshmen making really stupid mistakes consistently, and that's going to happen. And I look at, well, one question can be, is he going to develop a player? Are they going to get better? And my answer is, well, the guy I can show you is Ty Webster. Look at him this senior year, all Big Ten. If you're right. Coach Miles right now, how safe do you feel?
I don't think Nebraska can afford to make a change.
And I hate asking that. I hate asking this in a 5-game losing streak because it's weak. It's too knee-jerk. I mean, there needs to be long-term thinking is my point.
Exactly. And what's this, Tim's fifth year there? And people should know, you know, I'm very partial to Tim.
Right.
But I just don't think a program like Nebraska can afford to go through a transitional period. You know, now maybe you bring somebody else in, and I can't believe we're talking about this, but the benefit is going to be some of the talent that is in the program right now. You know, I just don't see how the seat should be hot. I could understand that it might be a little bit warm and people are frustrated. I know Tim's frustrated, but the bottom line is this is Nebraska basketball. There's really no excuse that it shouldn't be better. The facilities are as good as anybody's in the country. But I think that some of these young players, you know, need some time. Was he dealt a really bad hand with Andrew White, you know, leaving when he did? Absolutely. Why he left? Who knows? But it was a dumb move. To me, it's a bad move on his part. Nobody, I don't know. Last I read, he wasn't doing all that well at Syracuse. But that's a severe blow. Where you've struggled the first few years in this regime was 3-point shooting, and one of the best 3-point shooters on the team leaves when he did. But let's just not play football without a quarterback, you know, or running back. I think there's been some unfortunate things like that, and then the injuries that they had. You know, Gil getting hurt when he did. Now they've responded, but. Why can't they put it together for those 5 minutes or so in a game where they just fade and then they can't come back? That to me is mystifying.
Bill, real quick, I want to talk NCAA tournament. Your thoughts on the basketball selection committee doing an early reveal, kind of like football did with the college football playoff. The 11th of February, you'll have the first sneak peek look into the seedings. You've sat in on the selection committee for college basketball in the NCAA tournament, so you know how it works. Do you think this will help get some attention for college basketball pre-March?
Absolutely, and it has to. I think, you know, this is however much people are going to pay attention to it, I don't know. But to me, it's needed because, quite frankly, you know, granted I'm working winter sports, but I'm also doing some basketball, all these other things. Nobody is buzzing about college basketball anymore.
Yeah, Kentucky, and Kansas this weekend, which is good, but yeah, I know what you're saying.
But you know, back in the day, you know, everybody knew when Duke, North Carolina played. Everybody knew when, you know, where all the big games were and when they were on the calendar. You watch a college basketball game on any of the networks, and the arenas, for the most part, outside of Lawrence, outside of Cameron, all of that, the gyms, the arenas, for the most part, are half full on average. You might have, you know, a Hilton Coliseum where they're still passionate about it. Nebraska still draws very well. But you look at the attention and the interest that there is at a college basketball game, and it's really distressing, to be honest with you. It's a great made-for-TV sport, but there is no buzz about college basketball. The NBA has done a great job in elevating itself and elevating its game and creating the stars that it has. But, you know, maybe that's to the detriment of the college game because guys are one and done and, you know, and gone. And I think that's a large part of it. But college basketball, in my estimation, in my observation, is fading dramatically. And the only time that people care about it is that, you know, in late February and March and when the tournament rolls around. The rankings don't mean anything at all. It's something to talk about, but people don't even talk about that anymore. I think college basketball, for the most part, is in a world of hurt. And because, you know, if the NFL can suffer some major, you know, viewership losses like it did this past year, and I think Colin Kaepernick was, you know, first and foremost one of the big reasons why. But I think you're looking at college basketball needing to do something to generate some interest, and maybe that, you know, that poll and that will give some people some reason to have some buzz because the rankings don't mean anything, and maybe that does. But I just watch a college basketball game, you know, and watch three or four on a weekend, and just look at the crowds and hear the crowds, and the level of play is not very good. I think college basketball is in a world of hurt, and they got to do some things to jazz it back up.
Got about 90 seconds left. There's been talk in the past about expanding the tournament. Would that interest you at all for more college basketball interest?
No, come on. Everybody's going to get a ribbon now. You know,
maybe.
No. To me, if you do that, you're going to take away, you know, the conference tournaments, which are special. I'm not going to lie about that. March is a great time for college basketball. But November through February now, people just don't buzz about it anymore. And you start adding, you can't move it for, you know, back because you've got the Masters on CBS. And CBS is not going to give up the Masters, and they're not going to do anything that's going to mess with that programming. It's all about TV, right? So where are you going to put another 64? Are you going to make them, everybody play on Tuesday? You know, in the first four plays? Okay, maybe. I don't know, but I just don't see how you can expand it anymore and give everybody a participation ribbon. You know, that's just not the way it should work. I think 64 is fine. It's a great month-long event, but college basketball's problems are a lot deeper than letting the 128 teams play, you know, in March. That just doesn't work for me.
Pride of Fairbury, Bill Dolman with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Billy D, we will catch up with you next week and get your Super Bowl thoughts, okay?
You know, it would be my pleasure. I hope that I am able to be invited back and that the powers that be have simmered down just a little bit. And don't forget to watch the World Luge Championships this weekend on NBC.
NBC's Bill Dolman, Luge, Basketball, and Spartacus. It is all happening. Billy D., you take care, brother.
Goodbye.
See ya. There he is, at Bill Dolman on Twitter. I had to get the Spartacus blast in there before he did it to me. That's what I watch on weekends with a leather apron, is what he would tell you. All right, we'll get into some Husker basketball, some more thoughts on Nebraska recruiting. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning on a Friday at Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
We are 25 minutes away. Recruiting update with Erin Sorensen. Her thoughts on Nebraska's verbal commit today. Jameer Calvin, commit number 18, between 22 and 25, is what the class of 17 will look like. We'll get into who's here this weekend. But first, a public service announcement about Nebraska basketball. this weekend. Now, as hyped up as T.J. Henning was rolling in with his Calabrasca flag, he also had tears in his eyes. And I, when Nebraska basketball loses. T.J., I don't know what to tell you anymore. I was pro-Nebraska last night. I thought they'd win. I thought they'd cover.
Mm-hmm.
They did neither, although it was there. And I have mixed emotions for last night. So what I did last evening was met old Bailey for a frosty one. Wife's sick with the flu, so there's no way in hell I'm going home. Supportive husband. So I went and watched first half. And Nebraska, and Dolman's nails with this. There's a five-minute period at some point in these losses, longer in some instances, mm-hmm. but where Nebraska has to and does seize control. They did it against Indiana. They did it against Maryland, and I'm sorry to be a broken record with this. They did it against Iowa, where they found a way. They made their run, their surge. And Nebraska's kind of getting out. They got to a bad start last night. They're down 12-6, the under 15 timeout, under 16 timeout. And then Nebraska just got stops. They got defensive rebounds. They were able to get to the rim and finish. And then they surged ahead. They were up 18-16. They put a run together after that first TV timeout. But it went from just getting back from even to taking a lead to growing that lead and playing from in front, like Coach Miles always talks about, mm-hmm. and that 10-point bubble you got to have in Big Ten play.
Yeah, like they did at Indiana.
You got to be up 10. You got to be up 10 on the road to win by 3, if that makes any sense at all.
Oh, yeah.
Because ultimately it's going to come down to a team closing and can you hang on. And right now Nebraska just, when they had that a chance to, I don't want to even say put away, that's not fair, but really put themselves in position to hang on.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't score. They committed turnovers. While Northwestern wasn't feeling it or scoring, I think Northwestern went 1-for-10 scoring-wise with possessions.
Mm-hmm.
And you had Jordy commit some boneheaded turnovers, and he'll do that. I like Jordy a lot. But it's not just him either.
Yeah, but he should be redshirting, in all honesty.
Yeah, no, right, good point. And then the other thing that drove me nuts is when it comes to missing this opportunity, and God love Jacobson for playing and grabbing 9 rebounds, 6 offensive rebounds with the flu.
Mm-hmm.
Also out of position, playing a 5. Should be a 4. That dude is the most uncomfortable man I've seen in my life trying to get his own shot at the rim. This isn't personal. No. This isn't attacking. This is I can't imagine being that big and tall and that athletic and not having any radar around the rim.
Yep.
He's gorgeous catching the ball and shooting from either side of the free throw line. He's good at the free throw line. He's good at playing volleyball on offensive glass,
mm-hmm.
tap backs. But if it comes down to catching, gathering,
and trying to do some kind of hook.
Yeah, and he short arms it. I get now wanting to play dodgeball with the backboard, but it's bad.
Yeah.
It's bad. And Nebraska let one get away where they could have, as bad as Northwestern was, and part of that was because of Nebraska's defense,
mm-hmm.
it spiraled out of control. They kept it close till the five-minute mark, and then you drove into a ditch around that technical foul time. You lost your composure. And I don't know how realistic the fouling was. I mean, just people you bump into or talk to griping about the officiating mm-hmm. last night. And I get it. It looked bad. It looked like there were some missed calls. I think Ty is frustrated going to the rim a lot. He's not getting calls. I think Glenn's frustrated. And then he had some inconsistency with some charges, or you had turnovers, or you took – Nebraska also played out of control because they wanted to get the tempo up. They wanted to run, then they got out of control. And then they took some stupid shots. They just took some out of character, quick in the shot clock, corner contested shots, and I'm talking about Glenn. So they did a lot to lose this when in reality they had a chance to to build a lead in that first half. And it just didn't work out. Obviously, they're soft down low right now without Ed.
Mm-hmm.
When you have Pardon go gangster like he did.
Yeah.
No answer for that. And Law did his thing. So two guys beat you last night, and your second chance points is embarrassing. You have your plus in the offensive rebound arena, like Nebraska was, 6, and you get outscored by 9 in second chance points. And again, comes back down to finishing down low.
Yeah, it was interesting how we out-rebounded them, and it didn't feel like that at all. To me, last night, defensively, it wasn't an issue. You held Northwestern
to
57
well.
Points with 5 minutes left. You got multiple stops first half and second half. The problem was you couldn't convert on any of them. Offensively, you shot 36% from the floor, 20 from three, which isn't surprising, but when you went 3-0 to begin Big Ten play, you were leading the league in three-point shooting. That wasn't going to be sustainable with this team. And then the free throw shooting woes continue, 63%. Glenn Watson, 4 of 7. I mean, he's one of your best free throw shooters. Ty and Glenn, obviously you're not going to be anywhere without those two guys, but they go a combined 14 of 38 last night, and that just can't happen. I'm not sure what's happened to Glenn's stroke lately. He's honestly probably our best three-point shooter, but 0 from 3 last night. His long 2 isn't falling right now. The only thing really falling right now is the layup in transition right now.
If they can get it.
If
and they
can
did.
Get it. And they did in the first
it.
Half,
got
yeah.
Several steals.
But again, Northwestern kind of locked down again, and then just without Ed, you're already small. And Derek Pardon, that's a big dude, 22 boards. I mean, he's just killing you every time you play him.
Here's what you're not doing. You can't have a good offensive night with a good defensive night. They've not put both together.
Yeah.
They've either been awful defensively and been great offensively, and they've played teams that defense is optional, and I'm talking Indiana and Maryland, mm-hmm. or they're good defensively like last night, but it was a rock fight for both teams trying to score.
Mm-hmm.
It was a classic wind back the clock peach basket game where it was old school Big Ten Sullinger basketball,
yeah.
or Brian Cardinal basketball, where it was three dribbles, power move, back the guy down, and go up.
And I never heard a reason, but you're already without Anton Gill, and then you're without Ed Morrow, and Dry Horn doesn't play at all last night. I found that a little interesting.
Lee Barfnik has the reason, to give Lee credit. It was more of a practice situation.
Which makes sense.
So, and I get it. I mean, you got to bring it during practice, and Coach Miles is trying to.
Yeah, you could use his 3-point shooting last night.
No, you could, but how are you gonna reward your guys? You give the minutes to those who earn it, and if you're,
yeah.
I'm insinuating.
I don't disagree, but it's just these young guys need some reps too. I think playing for next season quite a bit.
And Roby too, man.
He's struggling.
He's struggling offensively, but God, he's good defensively.
Mm-hmm.
He's so good, and he's not fouling. He's good at the rim. We'll see where Nebraska goes. The Giants of Purdue roll in. So there's your Nebraska basketball update. Weep hard. We'll wind down hour one. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
The Hit.
Your Lincoln Stars battle this Friday and Saturday night.
Versus Fargo.
7:35 Friday, it's Margaritaville night. 7:05 Saturday,
it's America night.
Tickets for these games and multiple ticket packages
at LincolnStars.com.
Former black shirt, Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Black shirt, Jay will be back on Monday as we get closer to signing day 2017. Plenty to talk about when it comes to Jameer Calvin, Aaron Sorensen, recruiting analyst, HailVarsity.com and magazine. 10 minutes away. Brandon Vogel, also a Hail Varsity. Next hour, Friday forecast on the docket. So I got a text from my buddy Iowa Russ. He had a bottle of chocolate stout in his hand, as it's now available for you from your friends at Zipline Brewing. So last week, chocolate stout in the Baltic Porter was released. They're available for you, obviously, at both tap rooms from Zipline. But they're available in stores across Nebraska for you. And you know what else looks great is that when I talk about that Baltic Porter, it's a collaboration with Harbor Brewing from Cornwall, England. The Lemon Drop Pale Ale, also available, very drinkable, 6 packs available. So what I'm telling you to do is either get a 6 pack at your local grocery store or bottle shop around Nebraska. If you're headed into Lincoln this weekend, find your way to Zipline's two amazing tap rooms, the Westo location or the German Beer Hall. You can find them at Zipline on Twitter. And yes, can log on to ziplinebrewing.com. The German Beer Hall, if you haven't been there, is heaven. It is awesome. You sit down, you meet fellow Nebraskans, you say hey, and you have amazing beer at the German Beer Hall from Zipline, 56th and Pine Lake in Lincoln, Monday through Saturday, noon to 10, Sunday, noon to 6. So I invite you to Zipline. It's brewed in Lincoln, but poured for all in Nebraska. See Marcus and your friends at Zipline Brewing today and get to the tap room this weekend. Get away. Enjoy. Treat you. We'll talk recruiting next with Aaron Sorensen. Visitors this weekend, Tyjon Lindsey, Michael O, Oni Miyabo. God, I screwed that up. I'm going to get it right. We're going to walk through this thing. Ani Mayobi, yes,
nice.
From downtown.
Tony, the buzzer.
Tony Wallace, very, very talented cornerback out of Vegas as well, is in town this weekend. You want that inside info? You want the latest scoop? You want to know what's going on with signing day 2017? Be Caller 6 right now. The premium online subscription to HailVarsity.com. Yours. Just got to get TJ to answer that phone. Caller 6 now, a six-month subscription yours, thanks to Aaron Babcock. I tell you what, the community, the message boards, the premium content, tremendous with HailVarsity.com. Caller 6 at 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. I'm going to keep giving a subscription away because Boss Man says, go do it. Be nice to people. So Caller 6, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Caller 6 now to the premium online subscription to HailVarsity.com. 6 months free, yours, perfect around signing day and beyond. And if you're not Caller 6, can sign up for free, 30-day free trial now, HailVarsity.com/subscribe. But Caller 6, get you taken care of, a six-month subscription to HailVarsity.com, 800-825-5865 or 466-3776. Aaron Sorensen up next.
Hey, Lucy, you're the CFO.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day!
Day by day!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We get beat!
We get beat!
Boom! Beat! Beat!
Boom! Beat!
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. A lot of recruiting excitement today. Jameer Calvin putting up on Twitter that he's headed to Big Red Country. Welcome in, recruiting analyst and writer with HailVarsity.com and magazine, Aaron Sorensen with us, at Aaron Sorensen on Twitter. Aaron's been all over recruiting coverage for this 2017 class. Aaron, how you doing?
I'm good, and here I thought it was going to be a quiet Friday.
Not likely.
That's usually when you should get a sense that it's not going to be quiet, is the moment you start to think, I think today might be quiet, that's when you should expect that it's going to be everything but that.
How many times in movies have you seen somebody say, well, it's too quiet out there, right?
Well, that's right. You know, and it's funny that you say that, because earlier today I was talking to Brandon Vogel, and I made the joke to him that I said, because Calvin's commitment was kind of up in the air. We had done a post this week on like when to expect kids to commit, and he was one that it was kind of hit and miss. It was hard to predict if he would do National Signing Day, if he'd pick either before or after. It was one of those things where I said to Brandon, I have this gut feeling something's going to happen when I'm driving. And sure enough, that is exactly what happened. So I had to, we were all ready for it, but I was publishing from a gas station. So it's totally fine. The glamorous life of reporting.
Hey, I got to pull over and eat some Doritos and I need to hit send. I like it. No, great, great write-up and coverage with HailVarsity.com on Jameer Calvin, his commitment. And of course, Jake Jensen kind of breaks down some of the pros of Calvin's addition to the class. Your California contacts, what's their reaction? What's your reaction here when you look at what this means for Nebraska, not only with the class, but also with the position group they're trying to really hit home on to end 17?
Yeah, well, I mean, first and foremost, speaking of his class, you know, he had a lot of guys that were pulling for him. And so the one thing that I tell people, if you're paying attention on Twitter, if you see a little black flag emoji, you're going to notice that there's a very specific group that is using it. It's your guys like Tyjon Lindsey, Keyshawn Johnson. There's these key guys in Riley Hiles for 2018. They're all using it. And so Elijah Blades is also using it. So that gives you reason to believe there might be something there as far as Nebraska. Now, it could just be a thing that they just use amongst themselves, but there's something interesting that you notice it starts to pop up as they're getting ready to commit to Nebraska. So that's something, if you like to put the tinfoil hat on and sit on Twitter, I would say keep an eye out for that black flag emoji because it means something. It really genuinely does. Now for this class, obviously they're now looking at four wide receivers. You've got, now with the addition of Calvin, you also have Keyshawn, who's already on campus and enrolled. Same thing with McQuitty, and then you have Tyjon Lindsey. So, I mean, you are pretty set with receivers in this group. And it's funny because a couple of weeks ago, Keith Williams had tweeted, signing day is February 1st. And he had tweeted that in response to Jameer Calvin not committing initially to Nebraska. Well, that's what it felt like, at least. So, clearly, Keith Williams knew something, and as he should, that we all didn't, that don't pay too much attention to all of this noise. It's all going to pan out just fine. And hey, he's now got plenty of receivers in this class. So again, he really knew what he was doing. But I do recommend, if people are not on HailVarsity Premium, to really check out Jake Jensen's write-up on Jameer Calvin for the recruit profile, because he always puts in his strengths, his weaknesses, and then his own conclusion from like the eye test and everything. And needless to say, a lot of Calvin's strengths outweigh his weaknesses, and his weaknesses are something that can be corrected easily. They're not something that he's going to have to battle long term as long as he has a good coach, which just seems like Keith Williams is the right guy to work with him. So if you're not on HailVarsity Premium, I really recommend checking that out, because Jake did a nice deep analysis of kind of what Calvin looks like on film and then what he can bring to this class and the team in general going forward.
What he does is, at least what he did in high school, stretch the defense, obviously the home run threat up top, and then his short area quickness on the bubble screen, and of course the punt return game, and Jake outlines that exceptionally well. It gets Nebraska fans excited, and it also, if you're Coach Langsdorf and Coach Riley and you're making this shift more towards what you've done forever, and that's throw the football, you have a lot of versatility, not just with a guy like Calvin, but then you add Keyshawn to it, then you have Lindsey to it, you have McQuitty. You need a bigger bodied wideout, and that may happen by Wednesday, but with these short area guys that are hard to track down in space, plus the speed they have to go deep, can really mess with defenses potentially in the Big Ten. I look at it getting a guy like Calvin too, Aaron, and you can speak to this because you've followed the, not just who, but the, kind of the peer group Nebraska's been competing against. It continues the momentum that Nebraska fans really want. Yes, they want to see it on the field, but they're upgrading that roster, which is the edict from Sean Eichhorst. Got to get better talent, paraphrasing him, obviously. But you look at Nebraska, and this group they've brought in is pretty exceptional, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, you said it exactly right. You know, back when Nebraska got its butt kicked by Ohio State. There's no nice way to put that. They got their butt kicked.
You put it the nicest way possible. I would have said something different.
I know. I did still put it the nicest way possible. But back when that happened, the biggest thing that came out of that is that Nebraska talent-wise just did not match up to Ohio State. That is just the harsh reality of it. And when you're looking at a class like this 2017 class, it really sets the stage for the future, because a lot of these guys that you're looking at now on this roster for the 2017 class, like Calvin and Lindsey and Tristan, Jebbia and Keyshawn, I mean, you could just start naming names on this class, and they've got so many connections. I mean, you're looking at the 2018 class and the guys that are connected to this class so far, and that's a huge selling point for kids that are maybe now thinking, well, is that where I want to be, you know, 2018 class, 2019 class? And if you now have if you finish strong for the 2017 class, and then this class can help build on your 2018 class, you've got some solid momentum going forward as far as bringing in talent. And you're also seeing Nebraska start to beat out those other top tier programs for these guys. I mean, the fact that Nebraska is beating out Oregon, potentially Florida with Blades, you think about what that ultimately means, and it says, one, Nebraska, their staff is not afraid to go in and snag some of these guys. And it's unfortunate that what will happen with Calvin is it would have been nice to have the whole, like, big show of the All-American Bowl on national television and for people to see that. But I think now people, when they were upset at the time that Nebraska wasn't able to seal the deal on any of those All-American Bowl commits, they're now looking at potentially sealing the deal with, you know, a couple of them. So it's one of those things where it shows that Nebraska's not only willing to go after these guys, they're finding ways to seal the deal, close the deal with them, even if it's not what we thought it would look like originally. And, you know, like I said, if this class finishes strong, you're at 18 right now, they can take between 22 and 25. If it finishes strong, you take that momentum, use these connections to sell 2018, you've got a pretty good swing in the right direction, especially when you're looking to face, you know, when you're looking to face teams in 2019, 2020, depending on how these groups develop.
A few more minutes. Aaron Sorensen with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Aaron Sorensen on Twitter, talking the new verbal commit number 18 for Nebraska, Jameer Calvin, in another big-time wideout from a talent-rich area and a high level of high school competition. Let's talk about who's coming to Lincoln this weekend. Tyshawn Lindsey is committed, but he's making his trip to Lincoln. Michael Onyemaobi.
Onyemaobi.
Thank you. Thank you. Twice in 1 week. By next week, it'll be good. Onyemaobi. He's an uncommitted athlete. Nebraska looking at him as a safety. And then Tony Wallace, a talent quarterback out of the Nevada and Vegas region, if I'm correct there. What are your thoughts on these three visitors checking out Lincoln this weekend?
Well, I mean, the great news about Tyshawn Lindsey is I think it just really solidifies for people that he's serious about Nebraska. I mean, he's been, since I talked to him, he's been looking forward to this visit, and he actually not too long ago tweeted, "When you land and see snow, that's when you know you're in Nebraska," with the heart eye emoji. So he's clearly not deterred by snow, and he still, regardless of the snow on the ground, got a good weekend as far as, you know, not too terrible temperatures. But I just think having him in town is great, especially when you are looking at potentially getting other guys that he is familiar with, interested, whether it's to finish out this class or going forward. There's nothing wrong with having him in town. But then Michael Onyemaobi, I have now also talked to him as, you know, previously, and he had been committed previously to Cal, and now he's really between TCU took Cal's offensive coordinator. TCU has Cal's offensive coordinator. So that's where your connection is there. And he had a really good time at TCU. But the one thing that stood out to me about Onyemaobi when we talked is he was really interested in the whole fanfare of Nebraska. He was asking me questions like, is it really going to be that crazy? Are fans really that awesome? Like, I've heard all this stuff. So you know that he's coming here this weekend looking to kind of see that firsthand, and he's going to get it. So I would not, you know, knock Nebraska out. I think TCU definitely has that leg up considering there's some ties there. But the genuine vibe I got is that Nebraska is kind of his lean. So I think this is good to get him in town and have him experience firsthand. Now, Tony Wallace, he's got some big schools still on the docket from Arizona and USC that he's interested in besides Nebraska. But kind of like we talked about, just even getting guys on campus says a lot. So even if he ultimately chooses elsewhere, the fact that Dante Williams was able to get him interested enough to take an official here, that just shows some good relationship building, and you know, that doesn't hurt anything. Because even if he doesn't always commit, I always say, even if the kid doesn't commit, if he has a great time, goes home and tells his friends about it, that's going to do a lot of good work for a program down the road, especially if there's somebody else potentially he might know that Nebraska might want.
Aaron Sorensen, we're talking recruiting. Big weekend for Nebraska. They got the commit today in Jameer Calvin, Hail Varsity Radio. So defensive tackle, tight end, defensive backs, three position groups that Nebraska's trying to close strong with. And let's talk a little bit about where you are right now as we are closer and closer to signing day. Do you have a gut reaction on Daniels, on Raftel, the tight end? And, of course, you have Lewis and Thompson at wideout that are really good, and then Lenore. And you said earlier you think Blades is leaning Nebraska. If you were to make a educated guess right now of those names listed, who do you think leans with that red end?
All right, so I will go down the list because I'm looking. Even in preparation for this, I have my list of guys that I'm expecting to make a decision in the next week, especially on National Signing Day. And this is, again, people can hold it against me if I'm right or wrong, but I will just go down what I think. I think Blades is clearly leaning Nebraska. He decommitted from Florida. I was unsure previously. I'm going to say Blades ultimately commits to Nebraska on signing day. Lewis is a little bit more up in the air. I right now I'm a little bit more hesitant that I don't know if he's so much of a Nebraska lean. I think, I don't know. I struggle a little bit with Oregon, and then I know USC is still on his list. He's the one I don't feel as comfortable with, so I could see him going elsewhere. Lenore, again, Oregon worries me with him. I think this one's a little bit more up in the air than people might realize, but I do know that Nebraska is still very much in the mix. When it comes down to it, I've been hearing that he is a Nebraska lean, so I will give that to him, but I would just say I could definitely see Oregon sweeping in and taking him before this is all said and done. Ani Naobi, I'm going to go with Nebraska. I think he's going to ultimately end up at Nebraska. Damian Daniels, everything I've been hearing about him is that Nebraska is it for him. It sounds like he is what some call, which I don't know how much validity some people want to put in it, but a silent commit. So I would say I would give him the Nebraska lean as well. Greg Johnson it sounds like, again, he's one where I would say is more 50-50. Mm-hmm. So I'm not super confident in making a call for him just yet. But then, you know, from the rest of them, Raftel, what's tough about him is he's got a pretty impressive list still left between LSU and Iowa. Nebraska needs that tight end. So I'm going to give Nebraska this one. I think they'll get Raftel. There's a couple of people that are still on Nebraska's board, but I'm just like, for instance, Jeremiah Hawkins. I'm just not sure now that Nebraska, I'm just not sure where he would fit in this class at this point. So I don't know if he would commit just because of that, but you never know. Looking at some of the guys that are left, maybe they'll surprise, but I think your main ones that you should keep an eye on that Nebraska will get is Damian Daniels, Michael Onyemaobi, Elijah Blade, and then Kurt Raftel. Anything beyond that, I think the rest are a little 50-50, and maybe they'll surprise us on Wednesday.
Aaron, we'll catch up tomorrow morning for the weekend edition. Awesome stuff. Thanks for a few minutes.
Yeah, you bet. Like I said, I'm not going to take it for granted anymore. I don't think it's going to be quiet anymore. We are full throttle until Wednesday.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man.
You are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right, all right, all right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Great to be back. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Find your friends at Sauter Haven this weekend. Don't put off Valentine's Day. And don't make yourself choose between signing day and Valentine's Day. Just don't do it. 1 carat diamonds available with Rick and your friends at Sauter Haven. $100 a month. Can you scream affordability? I can. 1 carat diamonds, limited time offer with approved credit. See stores for details and go see Rick and your friends now at Sauter Haven, SauterHaven.com. 12th and O downtown, Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln. Out west, our friends in Grand Island. Welcome in, Mr. Brandon Vogel of HailVarsity.com and magazine. We just talked to Erin Brandon, and she was all over the recruiting weekend. Who's coming to town? Of course, the news of the day is Jameer Calvin. And Coach Riley, Coach Williams, Coach Langsdorf have quite a few options to choose from moving forward. You have DeMornay, of course, back, and you have Stanley back, and you have Reimers, and you have some wideouts that are here, obviously. But you need a couple more guys from this 17 class to play. And you know what? Calvin's a dynamic playmaker. What did you think of the verbal today?
Yeah, you know, not a huge surprise. I mean, I think everyone kind of thought things were trending that way once he decommitted from Oregon State. Everyone was excited by that or surprised by that move to begin with. So good for Nebraska. You know, I didn't know it was gonna happen this early. I thought it might go a little bit into next week, but big pickup for Nebraska. You know, they're depending on where you look, he's a four-star player. Nebraska might have as many of those in this class as they've had in a while. So that's never a bad thing. You know, it looks a little bit like possibly a logjam at wide receiver, depending on how things go, but that's what you want. You know, you want competition for those spots, and you hope if you can keep everybody happy and keep everybody here, then that just that no doubt makes you better down the line.
Does this we've been talking a long time about not just getting talent but getting depth of talent, and when you got a guy like Lindsey and a guy like Calvin, have fun defending either if you go four wide or defending someone else. I mean, you want to talk about versatility? It's right here, isn't it, for Nebraska?
Yeah, it really is. And you know, with I think where we assume this offense is headed, you look at some of the inexperience at tight end. You know, you might see Nebraska in some more of those four or five wide sets. We didn't see a ton of five wide receiver sets. That's not quite the playbook here, but you could. I mean, you certainly have what looks like the talent to win some matchups that way. And I think Nebraska's staff has to like what they see when they start to project out what this receiver core could be next year and then even beyond.
Vogues, what do you think the Pirates thinking right now? We didn't try calling him today.
Probably a little bit disappointed. They have a pretty good pitch to give to wide receivers as well there, as everyone knows. But hey, you know, had to know, I guess, that Nebraska had been in on him for quite a while. Once he committed to Oregon State, yeah, you had to think that Nebraska was the leader. So I guess credit at least Washington State for jumping over the Beavers to be in the final two.
Tell me about this momentum here, and the way TJ and I kind of laid it out to start the show is this reinforces that momentum that you hear a lot about, and you have the idea that you're going to have on-par talent competing against the Ohio States or the Michigans, or maybe not a roster with as much star-rated talent, but you need to get some skill guys there to make some plays. And I think of the Curtis Samuels of the world in the slot.
Yeah.
This has got to be pretty good for Nebraska fans. It all has to translate on the field. It all has to work. You got to win the games, but at least you're positioning yourself. I mean, that's got to be the message right now, isn't it?
Yeah, you beat some of those guys, you know, head-to-head in the case of Lindsey's case, for players like that. And people take notice. And, you know, we've seen sort of a lot of these California recruits know one another, are very familiar with one another. And I guess in a lot of cases, you call them friends. That doesn't hurt either. You know, I thought as it became apparent that this California was going to be a bigger piece of the recruiting puzzle for Nebraska, I thought it made a lot of sense just because, you know, you look at Blades, you know, things are looking good for Nebraska there too. He was going to go all the way across the country to go to Florida. Nebraska seems relatively close compared to that. And it's not close compared to USC, but, you know, yeah, you have to give yourself whatever sort of marketability you can. And when a guy like that has players that he's competed against for a long time and potentially knows, it definitely helps you.
Vogues, you had a great article earlier this week. How much talent does it take to win a conference title? A lot of folks have read it. If folks haven't, give us a little synopsis real quick on what kind of moved you to dig into it. Some great data.
Yeah, so you use something called blue chip percentage, which if you consider 4- and 5-star recruits blue chips, what percentage have the conference champions in Power 5 conferences since 2008? So that's basically the last 48 conference champions when you count a couple of ties. And there were schools, you know, Alabama, Ohio State, USC, those teams are about 70% blue chip talent. So 70% of their recruiting classes are 4- or 5-star. The average for that entire group, so when you include Kansas State in 2012, Wisconsin when it won the Big Ten, you get down to about 35-36% was the average. Nebraska's not at that currently. They haven't been at that for as far back as I looked, which was just to 2008. Got close in 2012, you know, sort of building. The Pelini era was still rolling a little bit there, had momentum from back-to-back conference championship appearances. Nebraska got up to, I think, 32. Depending on what happens with this class, Nebraska could be getting up to about 27-28% blue-chip talent in terms of the players they signed. Now, that's not including any walk-ons or transfers or anything like that. So they're trending in the right direction. That's very much a guideline. You can win a conference title with talent less than that. But if you wanted to give yourself maximum opportunity, you probably want to be somewhere in that range.
What do you think Nebraska's, and this is just a guess, but what do you think Nebraska's percentage was when you look at the decades of the 80s and 90s?
Yeah, it's hard to tell because, you know, recruiting was a lot different then in terms of reliably ranking, you know, the majority of the prospects across the country. If I had to guess, I would say probably 40%, maybe maxing out. Maybe it got a little bit higher than that, but, you know, they were still had so many kids from Nebraska. You're not going to see a lot of those kids get 4- and 5-star rankings. It's easier now just because they can get out. They can get to St. Louis or Kansas City where some of these camps are and be seen. But 20, 30 years ago, those sorts of camps didn't really exist on the football front. So I'm guessing it probably was right there. It was never, I don't think, you know, what Alabama's is now. But Nebraska won that way. So shows you can do it.
Give me a thought here on what's going on with HailVarsity.com, the premium message boards, the content, and if folks are new to it, what's going on this weekend with info and rumors and what you're hearing? And are you guys doing a great job being several steps ahead of what's going on out in public, to be honest?
Yeah, so, you know, the premium side of things is kind of where those things go first. You know, some of the exclusive stuff we've gotten with recruits, stuff we're hearing from the sources that we've built up, you know, all that stuff kind of ends up on the premium board there. The story we were just talking about, some of that really, you know, analysis that takes a while to pull together all the data, that stuff that we give to our premium subscribers. So there's a lot of that. And then, you know, it kind of just evolves into an ongoing conversation about Husker football. So a lot of these things, you know, we'll kind of put out an idea or something that we're hearing, and and our readers will take it someplace else, and it leads us in a whole bunch of different fun directions. So it's a pretty good time.
All right, this is an off-the-wall question, but Jay and I talked about it a little bit earlier. My buddy pharmacist Jeff has suggested I go see Radiohead with him in Kansas City post-spring game, and I don't know them well enough to go spend the money. That said, they're supposed to be legendary. Our favorite bump to commercial is Radiohead, thanks to good old KRNU radio back in my college days. So your takeaway, is it, Schmidt, why are you asking me go? Or, Schmidt, you're love you, but you're not bright enough to figure it out, so stay home and save your money.
No, you should definitely go. Their latest album, which came out in 2016, was kind of a return to some of that, I guess, 90s form. You know, from there, they got pretty... Things got a little bit strange. I still liked a lot of that stuff, but I could understand why people were kind of like, this is just too much art, not enough music. But they seem to be returning a little bit back. I think they keep getting stronger, and you know, they're definitely a band that is going to be remembered for a very, very long time in terms of a feather to have in your cap. Say, oh yeah, I saw those guys. Radiohead's probably about tops for their generation, I would say.
Okay, have you seen them?
I have not seen them. I would definitely take the opportunity if I had it. So is this the night of the spring game? So like,
no,
you lead the
spring? No. I'm just it's around there. I'm trying to work my way out of a weekend at home. So I don't have the exact date, but no. And hey, we'll just have to kidnap Vogues and head down to Kansas City.
Yeah, yep. That'd be a pretty interesting day. If you got to see Huskers at like 1 o'clock, and then just busted straight to Kansas City and got to see Radiohead, it'd be a combination I think not many people have ever had.
No, it might be a different weekend actually too. But that was my excuse for shutting it down. We'll see. I might have to reopen it. Vogues, you have a good weekend. We'll catch up tomorrow on the weekend edition with myself and Kranak. You take care and thanks for a few minutes, bud.
All right, take care.
Awesome, Brandon Vogel with us, HailVarsity.com. And magazine at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Good stuff from him. If you're not a Radiohead dude, I get it. Forgive me for walking off the Yellow Brick Road for a moment. Friday forecast is upon us. Who wins and why? Steak and a beer bet coming up with me and TJ.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back with you, winding down a Friday. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine presented by the Nebraska Lottery. I know we just talked to Vogues, but he has to step out this weekend on the Friday forecast. Our dear friend Klausburn is in New York City. That, my friends, is frightening, knowing what I know about or know of about the things you can go shop for on Times Square. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
So Klausburn is he's on the East Coast. We'll have him back for Super Bowl week next week. But you have TJ and me to do the Friday forecast, plan accordingly, bet the other way. Yeah. Don't bet, but enjoy it. And I want to remind you on a serious note, the Friday forecast presented you by the Gamblers Assistance Program, the Nebraska Council on Compulsive Gambling and Choices Treatment Center. If you or someone you love has a problem with gambling, call the statewide helpline today, 1-800-522-4700. So the lineup for the weekend is pretty good. I didn't pick any NBA games because TJ would clean me up. But you and I can have a friendly wager here.
Okay.
We'll see how we do head to head this weekend. So what do you want to bet?
Ooh.
I'm great at offering steak and beer and then never following through. So I can suggest, let's get a steak and a beer. But
yeah, I was going to
suggest. You don't want to hang out outside of work, so.
I was going to say steak and beer again, you know?
Okay.
We'll just keep adding them up to what they are.
Yeah. Yeah. Little Ralph Brown, 14 trips to Misty's, so why not?
There you go.
Okay, let's get it started with the Friday forecast. And let's get things rolling with some Big Ten basketball. Maryland is at Minnesota. Mello and company are off to a tremendous start. Nebraska, the only win against the Terps. Minnesota's been scuffling a bit. They are talented enough to absolutely get this win. And it's a game that, quite frankly, I feel like, you know, Minnesota is just due for a win in the barn. And Maryland's due to kind of step back a bit. They've been ranked the last couple of weeks, it feels like. But Minnesota gets this done. My reasoning, it's in the barn. And Maryland's traveling quite a ways. It's no picnic going from East Coast to central part of the United States this time of year. There's a grind going on. I think both teams are pretty well rested. More so Minnesota. Maryland had a midweek game. But give me Goldie and the Fighting Patino Jr. 75-67. Enough guard play to trump what Maryland does. Give me the Gophers.
Yeah, the barn's been quite the home atmosphere this year, watching some Minnesota Gopher games this year. So both of these teams can score. That's not going to be an issue. Maryland's got some young freshmen that they play that are really talented but still pretty young. But I like Mello and company to get it done on the road, 80-79, a one-point victory.
You and your drama.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we differ there. Let's talk Kansas, Kentucky. Some of us will be at a fourth grade basketball game, but I'll be listening and watching as a...
Quite the drastic difference.
Yeah.
Fourth grade and Kansas, Kentucky.
Neither venue will be a highlight of free throw makes.
Yeah.
Kentucky and Monk, I love watching this kid. Mm-hmm. I like watching Kentucky. I don't hate on Cal. Bill Self's had some off the field or off the court crap going on at Kansas that I think can be a distraction. Kansas, I mean, listen, they've had a week. They kind of fell apart and didn't have great perimeter defense against West Virginia. West Virginia got all fat and happy once they got up to number 7 in the country. Then they dropped 2 straight, losing at home to a sub-500 Oklahoma team, dropping the game against Kansas State. And then they beat Kansas. So that's West Virginia we're talking about. So I wonder if Kansas responds. You lost at West Virginia. You're smarting from that. You just weren't good enough defensively. And Lord knows Kentucky will test you mightily on the defensive end. I just don't know how well Kentucky will be locked in defensively. Call me crazy. Call me nuts. But give me Kansas on the road to get this win at Kentucky. Despite the distraction, despite the loss at West Virginia, I think Kansas bounces back and sends a message that, yes, we are a arguable top seed come March, and this will prove that. A lot riding on this. Give me Kansas, their guard play. 87, Kentucky 85.
Yeah, so this is a great matchup between the guards. You got Malik Monk and De'Aaron Fox of Kentucky versus Frank Mason and Devontae Graham of Kansas. Cannot wait to watch this one. I think Kansas responds as well. I think they go in there just like UCLA went in there and gets a W. I like Kansas 88, Kentucky 84.
Let's talk Nebraska and Purdue at PBA 3:30, Big Ten Network Sunday. The Twin Towers are rolling in, and they're just not in the mold of big country from yesteryear. You got athleticism down low, and Purdue's been great from the perimeter. Will Ed go? He's going to test his foot out tomorrow, Saturday, and see. If he is back, even if he's 60 to 70%, give me Ed. And if he goes, so goes Nebraska. That'll help things out. I think Ed goes. I think Nebraska, they got to have this. We've said must win the last 7 games. This truly is. Nebraska finds a way. Nebraska beats Purdue.
Wow.
69-65. And the Huskers can exhale a bit.
You've been more the optimistic Nebraska ball guy than me lately.
This
week. Been interesting.
I'm wrong.
I don't see Ed playing this game. Purdue.
Throw him out there with two ski boots. I don't care.
They're not that much bigger than Northwestern, but they are. Actually, the guard-wise, they're not that much bigger, but down low with Hawes and Swanigan, those two are just going to be trouble, especially if Ed Morrow's not playing. Nebraska really needed to go at least 2-1, if not 3-0 in that stretch. They went 0-3. I don't see it. Zagging.
The math doesn't add
I don't
up, see
the,
I know.
Seeing Zag
which is par for the course.
Yeah, which is true. They've either like won bunch in a row or lost bunch in a row. But I like Purdue in this one, 67-61.
Okay. And just to prove that you may have a gambling problem, we will throw NFC, AFC, Pro Bowl out there. You going AFC or NFC?
Oh, man, I could honestly care less about this game. I don't think I've ever watched the Pro Bowl. No, it's like a even more glorified exhibition game. But give me the NFC over the AFC, 45-38.
NFC's won like 50 in a row. Give me the Fighting Sioux in the AFC. I like that. Friday forecast brought to you by the Gambler's Assistance Program, the Nebraska Council on Compulsive Gambling, and Choices Treatment Center. If you or someone you love has a problem gambling, call the statewide helpline, 1-800-522-4700. Our picks today for entertainment purposes only. And 6 to 8 million Americans meet the criteria for gambling addiction. Many more affected by an individual's gambling problem. You know, don't gamble more than you can afford. And if it stops being fun, please seek help. That's the Friday forecast. TJ Henning, Chris Schmidt. I am out the door to do some high school basketball. TJ will take you home. Have a great weekend. Thanks for your time. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
All right, winding down hour one here. Hail Varsity Radio Show, TJ Henning. Chris Schmidt off to call some high school basketball tonight. You can hear that right here on ESPN 1480 at 7:15 tonight. Chris Schmidt with the play-by-play. I will be your in-studio host, and then on KFOR at 7:15 as well. You can hear Jeff Most do play-by-play, while Jeff Bryan will be your in-studio host for that one. Okay, now I want to get into what's going on in the Chicago area, specifically with the Bulls. It is a zoo up there right now with the Chicago Bulls. I didn't think that they were going to make the playoffs this year just because their style of play, all the additions they added, it didn't make sense in today's NBA. They're adding a bunch of non-3-point shooters while they're still trying to be an offensive team. It just didn't make sense. So the other day you had Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler after the Bulls lost their third out of fourth games when they lost to Atlanta by 30, just really calling out the teammates and saying, if this doesn't piss you off that we're losing like this, then you need to get out of here. So then, the great teammate that he is, Mr. Rajon Rondo, decides to go to social media to vent his frustration, and he has a lengthy, long post on Instagram calling out Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler, and the first sentence says, "My vets would never go to the media," which Rajon Rondo didn't go to the media. He went to social media, so I guess in a way he didn't do that. But also in the picture is former Boston teammates Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett, so also a slight subtle shot at Ray Allen and Rajon Rondo's relationship. But today, GM Gar Forman talked to the media and said this is not tolerable, and they were fined a disclosed amount. Guys like Dwayne and Jimmy Butler, they said, hey, they said all the right things, that there's not a big issue, but I really don't believe that. And then this just came out that Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade are coming off the bench tonight as punishment for speaking to the media, airing their grievances, Costanza reference there, about the play of the team. I don't know. That seems a little high schoolish to me to be doing that in the NBA. But I guess you kind of do some punishment, whatever you feel is right. Starting in their place are Paul Zipser and Doug McDermott, so Creighton fans will be excited about that one. And I'm a huge NBA guy, and I got to be honest, I don't even know who Paul Zipser is. So it's mostly looking like another loss for the Bulls tonight. And you had Bobby Portis liking Rajon Rondo's Instagram post. So was he on the side with Rondo and against Jimmy and D-Wade? Just a messed up situation there. They're 23-24 on the year. Probably I know they got rid of Tom Thibodeau and it was against him and Gar Forman and the management. They didn't get along, but that guy was a heck of a coach. I know he could wear out your players in the regular season, but man, quite the dysfunctional group going right now in Chicago in the NBA. This just popped up on Twitter in the last half hour or so. Just when you think it couldn't get any worse for the Baylor football program, a new Baylor lawsuit alleges 52 acts of rape over 4 years. Wow. That is unbelievable, and they might have to shut that thing down there down in Waco. That is really terrible. And Lane Kiffin just hired Kendall Briles to be his offensive coordinator at FAU, so not more good news down there in Baylor. All right, TJ Henning here, getting ready to sign off. High school basketball coming up here at 7:15 with Chris Schmidt, play-by-play, and then over on 1240 KFOR and 103.3 FM KFOR, Jeff Moats will have play-by-play tonight. All right, we're out.